elected officials, City Manager Black, members of City Council, special guests, Mom, Dad, First Lady Dina, our Queen City is on fire with enthusiasm and energized by an excitement that you can feel in the air. I'm happy to report that the state of our Cincinnati is strong. Our beautiful historic city is young at heart again. Today, people are enjoying a new camaraderie, an uplifting spirit and pride in our city's renaissance. People are eating and drinking in new restaurants and rehabbed historic spaces, bringing new vibrancy to what was until just recently blighted property. People from all ages and backgrounds are running through the fountains at Washington Park to music of our world-renowned symphony. New residents are moving to Cincinnati to take advantage of our great business incubators, like the Brandery and CincyTech, which attract ideas and innovation to our city. Cincinnatians wake up nearly every day to learn that another major infusion of jobs is coming. Cincinnatians are sitting together at Fountain Square to watch Bengals games or dancing salsa at night, and walking together in the opening day parade. Nearby, couples are enjoying the new Riverfront Park swings, amazed by how much our city has transformed in such a short time. This city believes in its future again. And this good feeling is bringing us closer to each other as we find new ways to break bread together and toast to our good fortune. But let's be clear. All this good cheer resulted from hard work and great effort. That's the way it should be. As a community, we worked hard to tackle police community relations so that our entire city believed that our police department is here to protect and to serve. We made great efforts to connect downtown and Over the Rhine and to use the strength of downtown to foster the revitalization of Over the Rhine. Under Mayor Charlie Lukin's leadership, we partnered with our business community to make a major commitment to our inner city by creating and funding 3CDC. Steve Leeper and his organization have worked diligently to improve the quality of life in our entire urban core. Mayor Mark Mallory, Bob Castellini, Commissioner Todd Portoon, and many others made great efforts to jumpstart the Stalled Banks Project. Willie Cardin, we all love Willie, along with the Parks Foundation and the women of the Red Hat Society and the Park Foundation leadership of Susie Dorward, have made great efforts to build one of the most spectacular riverfront parks in the country. Countless pioneer developers have taken risk with their own capital in our urban core, spanning from downtown to Clifton. Entrepreneurs have rediscovered our brewing heritage and are remaking our image nationally as the home of craft beers. With great effort, the business community, under the leadership of Tom Williams, Uptown leaders, Governor Kasich, are building an I-71 interchange that will fuel momentum around UC and our hospitals. And if we have worked hard to bring thousands of new jobs to our city, including GE, Cincinnati Bell, and Mercy Health. So yes, the state of our city is great, and we deserve a moment to bask in this renewed pride. Like all things, true satisfaction is earned from hard work and great effort. And there's no doubt that we Cincinnatians have worked hard to make our city better. And we could not have made so much progress without the help of my colleagues on City Council. Yvette Simpson is making strides in fighting child poverty. Chris Seelbach is always working to make our city more inclusive. P.G. Sittenfeld is taking concrete steps to improve our education system. Wendell Young is working hard to reduce infant mortality. Amy Murray is helping to turn lemons into lemonade by taking the lead on various transportation projects and doing it with her signature friendliness and good cheer. Christopher Smitherman is bringing a whole new approach to fighting crime with a special emphasis on making sure that we treat every life as equally worthy of concern. Kevin Flynn is working to audit the city books and demand greater efficiency. Charlie Winburn, as budget chairman, delivered the first structurally balanced budget in many years and never fails to make us laugh. And Vice Mayor David Mann is leading efforts to ensure that the city pays attention to the needs of those living at society's margins, giving voice to the voiceless. Let's give a round of applause to City Council. I also want to make a special note of the stellar work done by our friend Scott Stiles, who until earlier this month was interim city manager. Scott is filled. Yes. Scott has filled many roles at City Hall over the last many decades, always exceeding expectations. Scott was put in the middle of some difficult times in December, but he kept faith with all sides for his honesty and objectivity. Then went on to lead efforts to get more cops hired, put the pension on a path of sustainability, and help deliver a structurally balanced budget. Somehow he did all of this while adding thousands of jobs to the city and always keeping such a pleasant demeanor. Let's give Scott a round of applause. Things like Cincinnati's good fortune comes in part from the leadership of City Hall, but much more so from individuals that make up the city and individual initiatives, daring and energy of our citizens. Things like Luminosity, which brings the city together to marvel at music and light, the continued development of a riverfront park, which Parks Foundation and so many philanthropists have made possible, an inviting door for our region. Our great music festivals like Jazz Festival and Bunbury and Buckle Up and Midpoint Music Festival. The national attention that our restaurant scene and business startup culture has attracted. With that in mind, I'd like to start a new tradition for the state of the city. Each year, I would like to recognize some of the people who have gone above and beyond to make Cincinnati a better place. That's why I'm starting the City Employee of the Year Award, the Mayor's Humanitarian Award, and the Cincinnatian of the Year Award. I'm proud to give the first Mayor's Employee of the Year Award to Ann Bruton, who works in our Public Services Department. Mrs. Bruton is an invaluable member of our department's graffiti abatement team. She is extremely dedicated to always willing to step up when there is a special project that needs a level of commitment. A few years ago, Mrs. Bruton took up the key role in Pendleton as part of the Neighborhood Enhancement Program. She worked difficult hours to locate and remove graffiti as quickly as possible and helped serve as a major deterrent for graffiti taggers by removing their work before it gets a chance to set in. She's a hard worker, self-motivated, and self-directed, and she comes highly recommended by the people she works with. Please join me in congratulating her on this great award. Sadly, this year's Humanitarian Award will be awarded posthumously to Lois Rosenthal. Although Lois recently left us, her commitment to social justice will be felt for generations to come. I got to know Lois through my work with the Ohio Innocence Project, which she adopted as her own. She graciously helped make the work possible that resulted in UC students getting 17 innocent people out of prison. While Lois was known for her commitment to the arts, she had an even greater commitment to those who couldn't help themselves, and to care for those who had nobody else to care for them. Her efforts over her life are far too great to recognize, but they include the Rosie Reader Program that is a pioneering early childhood education program that started in Carthage, and of course, a fresh produce program at the Free Store. Most prominently, of course, is Uptown Arts on Liberty Street and over the Rhine. This program provides free classes in music, art, acting, and dance for low-income children who live in the area. In doing so, it offers a safe and friendly environment for the children to express themselves and build self-esteem. Lois's loving husband, Dick, and her daughter, Jenny, are here, and I would like to give them the award in her honor and ask that you all give them a round of applause. And for the first ever Cincinnatian of the Year Award, I am selecting and would ask to come forward Tim Maloney of the Hale Foundation. Tim has done so much in the past year to bring us together with bold ideas. Topping the list, of course, is Luminosity. This incredible celebration of the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra's music, paired with a dazzling light show, has grown in its second year, drawing tens of thousands of people just right outside to watch the spectacle on our amazing music hall. Not only is luminosity the tonic for the spirit, it also brings together diverse elements of our community, the young and the old, the rich and the poor, even the East and the West. Even better, it allows some people to be exposed to the arts who may not have had the opportunity otherwise. What's going to be even equally interesting in the future is that he's overseeing the Carol Ann Carousel and making it possible, a fantastic new attraction for the Smale Riverfront Park. Just as Seattle has its Space Needle and London has its Ferris Wheel, the carousel promises to be another iconic symbol of the Queen City available to be enjoyed by all. He has shown not only the ability to give back to the community, but to do it in a way that has never been thought of before. Please join me in giving Tim a round of applause. Robert Kennedy said, "Some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream of things that never were and ask why not." The Innocence Project, the Rosie Reader Program, and luminosity are three things that never were and are now hard to imagine our city without. We can all look back now at the past year and marvel at how far we have come. But now it's time to look soberly at the challenges that lie ahead. Too many of our fellow Cincinnatians live in poverty. During the next 4 years, our goal is to transition 4,000 Cincinnatians from living in poverty to living in a household with at least one full-time breadwinner. If successful, this will represent a 5% reduction in the poverty rate. My plan, which I call the Hand Up Initiative, will provide short-term employment to put real money in people's pockets while giving them the skills needed to find long-term jobs. The initiative will also help participants keep their jobs by reducing childcare costs and transportation. And it will include a new transportation logistics training initiative with Cincinnati State under President Odell Owens' leadership. This initiative will be coming to City Council for approval in the next couple of weeks, and I urge their support. For as President Kennedy said, if a free society cannot help the many that are poor, it cannot save the few that are rich. One of my goals when I ran was to improve the number of city contracts awarded to minority and women-owned businesses. Frankly, the city has had and still has a lousy record on minority inclusion, and that's unacceptable. I've convened an Economic Inclusion Advisory Council headed by former Councilman Paul Booth and Kevin Klein of the Horseshoe Casino to turn it around. Led by consultants Janet Reed, Steve Love, and Vincent Brown, we are systematically changing the way the city does business. The group is looking at best practices in Cleveland and Atlanta so we can replicate them. Meanwhile, we're also streamlining the process now for becoming and having exposure to opportunities. In fact, with their help, 25 minority and women-owned businesses have already been to the city and know when the next bid opportunity is and will have a real opportunity to win the bid in our fast track process pilot program. And Tom Fernandez and Raj Chandra are heading the Immigration Task Force. They're working with a wide range of stakeholders on crafting policies to make Cincinnati the most immigrant friendly city in the US. That too will help our economy and increase our diversity. And as I've always said, hard work yields results. Already, we are on pace to increase the amount of money the city spends with minority contracts by 50% this year over last year. But we still have a very long way to go. But with continued hard work, we will become a role model for economic inclusion. And with great effort, we will also get our city's financial house in order. Under the leadership of the new city manager, Harry Black, we will be putting together a 10-year financial plan that will make sure that we're balanced not just for today and the immediate future, but for the long term. With great effort, we will finalize our pension deal in the coming months and be able to turn our attention to positive growth opportunities rather than just removing negative energy from the past. With hard work, we will reduce poverty, expand opportunity, and get the city's financial house in order. But there are places in our city where I believe we have made too few efforts in recent years, and where we will have to make up great new efforts to make up for lost time. 52 places, in fact. Our neighborhoods. Our city's renaissance will only be complete when it includes a neighborhood renaissance. In too many important ways, the city's policies over the last several years has failed our neighborhoods in the ways that make the most difference: safety, basic services, and issues of quality of life and blight. Most important of these, of course, is safety. From 2009 to 2013, our police force lost nearly 150 officers. Worse, our groundbreaking effort at fighting crime, the Cincinnati Initiative to Reduce Violence, or CIRV, was allowed to wither on the vine. Resources were slowly drained away, the program was ignored, and it became less and less effective. As a result, last year, homicides rose by 50%. Now, I took office on December 1st. The following month, we had the worst January in memory, with homicides that were setting a pace that would set a new record, a bad record. We acted quickly and decisively to stop this trend. City Council and I, in working with the chief and the administration, worked together to get money for extra police overtime that would target hotspots. We successfully put funding in place for 2 recruit classes, 19 laterals who are already on the streets, and 60 recruits that are in the academy now. And we revived CIRV, Citizens Initiative to Reduce Violence. This program targets the most violent offenders in our city, many of whom are involved with gangs, using a carrot and a stick. The carrot is we reach out and give them an opportunity to break their destructive lifestyles. The stick, however, motivates them, because we will bring technology and targeted efforts to go after repeat offenders that cause a disproportionate amount of crime. And this great work is paying off. So far this year, shootings are down by more than 17% citywide, despite the trend that started in January, year over year. The numbers are moving in the right direction, but it still isn't enough, especially if you happen to be a victim of crime. Going forward, we will do even more. With hard work and great effort, we will reduce the violence. Now, the most visible sign of your tax dollars in your neighborhood are the conditions of your streets and the ambulance, police cruiser, garbage truck, and snowplow are there when you need them. Any responsible manager knows that if you don't repave bad roads and buy new vehicles to replace the worn-out ones, and equally important, invest in preventative maintenance on existing roads and vehicles to extend their life, your assets will deteriorate faster than they should. The cost just to get back to even when you ignore preventive maintenance is exponentially more expensive. Unfortunately, from 2009 to 2013, the city neither replaced enough fleet nor rehabbed enough streets to prevent an overall decline. Even worse, virtually no money was invested in preventive maintenance. The neglect has taken its toll. The conditions of our fleet and our streets are now sorely lacking and far below what's acceptable. 55% of our fire, police, and garbage vehicles are out of life cycle. And the road pavement condition in our neighborhoods, which is rated annually, has declined for 5 straight years and is now worse than it has been in a generation. Simply put, we haven't been making it a priority. These are serious problems and a growing threat to our city's progress. And these problems will only get worse if we try to ignore them. It's always tempting to let basic infrastructure go, because the first couple of years it goes unnoticed as you continue to benefit from the previous responsible efforts. But eventually, it becomes noticeable and a lot more expensive. I will not kick this can down the road. I believe we have a duty to responsibly manage our assets, not only for our benefit, but in a way to pay it forward to our successors and to our children. Anything less would be irresponsible. So we will level, as we are now, with the citizens about this bad news and develop a practical long-term strategy to fix it. I am asking City Manager Harry Black to prepare a report for the public and present short-term and long-term solutions to these problems. Make no mistake, the hole is deep and will take us years to recover from this neglect. But we will start. We will ask, thank you. We will ask for your patience and report to you on a regular basis on how we're doing to improve it. With hard work and focus, we will solve these problems by doing a little bit better one day at a time. Another failed policy for our neighborhoods is the one garbage can policy, which has led to historic levels of illegal dumping. Many of our neighborhoods already are struggling with issues of blight, and this merely served to increase the trash dumped in vacant lots, alleys, and on the streets. Our public services director, Gerald Checo, who, by the way, is doing a great job, has not only developed a strategy which started with listening to people that we were serving to end this bad policy, but he will do so in a way that will double the amount of bulk item pickups and junk lot cleanups. We will be asking City Council to support this new and improved strategy that ends the one garbage can folly. With great effort, we will get back to picking up the garbage for all of our citizens, all of it, not just some of it. And finally, the neighborhoods have suffered from too little enforcement of building codes, laws requiring grass to be cut, and the nuisance behavior of some tenants and buildings with bad landlords. Nothing hurts morale more in our neighborhoods more than when good neighbors who take care of their properties suffer because the negligent neighbors don't. And that brings down the value for everyone. In partnership with the Port Authority's Land Bank, Legal Aid, Keep Cincinnati Beautiful, and others, we will be proposing dramatic new fines and dedicated resources to address this problem. Good, thank you. Good policing, road paving, great fire service, fleet maintenance, garbage collection, and code enforcement are the basics that neighborhoods rightfully expect, and for too long, they haven't been getting. We will systematically reprioritize neighborhoods by reprioritizing basic services, which will benefit all equally. It's the definition of the common good. And a neighborhood renaissance will start with these basics. But we also must be proactive and seek ideas for growing our tax base and improving the quality of life. We must dare to dream. Nothing important or impactful happens without first having the courage to envision it. The renaissance we've seen in downtown and over the Rhine must be expanded to our neighborhoods. So I am planning on providing a boost by proposing several much-needed projects in the coming months. My own experience building the Incline Public House and its extraordinary success at bringing new hope to East Price Hill tells me it's an idea that might be replicated elsewhere. I believe that just as Christian Moorline has brought good cheer to Smale Riverfront Park, we might spend some time to see if a similar private investment could anchor the Westwood Town Hall and the Westwood Square project, and whether a German-style beer garden might be the centerpiece for new attractions in Mount Airy Forest. I see Kevin Flynn from Mount Airy clapping. I'm not trying to overemphasize beer, but I am Irish, so it's all right. Mount Airy is the largest urban park in the nation. And just as Washington Park revitalized over the Rhine, some new attractions like a German-style beer garden that I saw in Munich this summer, as well as mountain bicycle trails and running trails, which could be added to Mount Airy Forest, I believe could revitalize the West Side, which in my opinion has not received the attention it has deserved. We will also bring new fresh fruit produce to our food deserts. For 10 years, the Center for Closing the Health Gap under former Mayor Dwight Tillery has dramatized the issue of unhealthy options and behavior in our inner city. In partnership with them and with the ministers and with the Avondale Community Council under Patricia Milton, we will bring a new full-service grocery store to Avondale Town Center. This will provide access to healthier and fresher food choices in one of our city's underserved food deserts. You know, just maybe, a new grocery store in the heart of Avondale will help us to begin replacing a subculture of guns and early death with a culture of long life and healthy eating. And later this year, we expect to announce a deal to buy the land needed for the long-planned Wasson Way bike trail. This trail will connect from Xavier all the way to the Miami bike trail. It will improve the quality of life in Evanston, Hyde Park, Oakley, and Mount Lookout, and continue the efforts to make City of Cincinnati more bike-friendly. And as we've talked about before, we want to see if we can't revitalize Burnett Woods in Clifton. Burnett Woods is one of the most underutilized gems of our city, surrounded by people, surrounded by students, surrounded by families. UC President Santa Ono has already agreed to help design and improve the park, and he already has his school of design working on it. With great effort, we will do all of these things and more. We will put new investment into our neighborhoods, and we will start by paying back the neighborhood TIF districts the $5 million that was taken from them a few years ago. I'm happy to report that City Council will have a chance to do so in the next couple weeks, and I hope they do. With hard work, we will win the future, and we will earn the right to have even more fun. And we need more fun in Cincinnati. Fun. Thank you. I'm just getting started. Fun transcends politics. Fun makes one smile or giggle. Fun is good for the heart and it's good for the soul. Fun is somehow related to love. Fun is fun. With this in mind, I have decided to appoint a commissioner of fun for the city of Cincinnati, whose job it will be to come up with at least one new fun idea in the coming year, and possibly more. I am happy to report that I'm appointing Frank Wood as the city's first commissioner of fun. And he has graciously accepted the post. To my knowledge, no other city in America has a commissioner of fun. I even Googled it. The commissioner of fun will not interfere with any fun we're already having. He will not require an office at City Hall, and he will not draw any public salary. He will do it just for the fun of it. As the founder of the WEBN Fireworks, which has brought us all kinds of fun for decades, I can only imagine what Frank Wood has in store for us next. He already has two vice commissioners, David Falk and Phil Castellini, have signed up to join him. The commissioner of fun will bring us fun when we least expect it. So be ready. Stay tuned. All right, enough fun, back to work. If nothing else, I want to leave you tonight knowing that Cincinnati's future will be won the same way we have won our recent successes, through hard work and great effort. And now great effort is needed again to start our neighborhood renaissance, a vision of 52 neighborhoods of safe, walkable, and workable streets. Cincinnati is so steeped in neighborhood lore that neighborhoods mark time. They mark the pivotal moments of our Cincinnati lives. In Mount Washington, my wife's family emigrated here from Jordan in the 50s and 60s, and they turned a hamburger place into Gold Star Chili. In Evanston, my maternal grandfather recruited future Marines at Xavier University. In Mount Lookout, he coached the football team at Cardinal Pacelli. In the East End, my maternal grandmother served Meals on Wheels. The Irish Cranleys moved here from Boston. In downtown, my great-grandfather owned Willis Music Company. In Clifton, my grandfather started vascular surgery at Good Sam. I still remember walking to grade school in Price Hill in the dark to serve Mass at 6:30 in the morning, then having to return home to walk my kid brother Mike to school. And of course, it was uphill both ways. In Roselawn, I remember an exciting day of my childhood when I got to stay up late on a school night to watch Xavier play in the NIT at the Cincinnati Gardens. In Oakley, my wife Dina and I had our first date and now walk our son to Graders in Hyde Park Square. Our son goes to school in East Walnut Hills. And during our first year of life with Joseph, we made it a point as a family to walk all the wonderful major parks in our city. We have inherited great neighborhood memories, and it is time that this generation help create new memories of neighborhoods for the next. And as your mayor, I'm asking you to reach beyond your family to your fellow Cincinnatian, to share your gifts with those who have not yet experienced the greatness of what Cincinnati has to offer, to make your neighborhood more welcoming. To build not just the greatest Cincinnati we have ever known, but a city with even better neighborhoods than the ones we grew up in. To find a way to create your neighborhood memories, as I have recounted my own about my family, that expands opportunity to those living on the margins of our city's neighborhoods. To treat all of our neighbors as part of our Cincinnati family. Why? Because our most sacred duty is to leave this world better than we found it. Because if we improve upon our lot, we will truly deserve the great rewards that we Cincinnatians are now reaping. Because we must show our gratitude for the opportunities made available to us from the hard work and great effort of those who came before us. They don't want to be paid back. They just want us to pay it forward. Cincinnati is feeling as good about itself as it ever has, and for good reason. We have all worked hard. But let us work even harder to make it even better. With humility, let us remember that with great fortune comes greater responsibility. And we can build a greater Cincinnati with what has made Cincinnati great: hard work and great effort. With great effort, we can reduce poverty and expand opportunity. With great effort, we can stop the killings and give people space to live. With great effort, we can ensure that opportunity reflects the diversity of our city. With great effort, we can ensure that our neighborhoods receive the basic services that they deserve. With great effort, we can rally around places to eat, drink, shop, and just relax, building new restaurants, grocery stores, and parks for all to enjoy. Then we can have fellowship and break bread together, toss frisbee and picnic together, sit together, toast the joy of life together, and sip from the satisfaction that comes from great effort. And next year, when we welcome to our city baseball's all-stars, we will be showing off a city not just gorgeous with natural assets, architecture, parks, arts, restaurants, curb appeal, nightlife, live music, and opportunity, though all of those things are better than they have been before. But we will be showing the world a city with soul, a city of people that accomplishes more together than we can as individuals, a place not just with a refurbished image, but a renewed spirit, an all-star city. And our great effort will renew the greatness of Cincinnati. I promise you, I will work my hardest, and I know you will too. Thank you for being here, and God bless Cincinnati.